No, it's beautiful, isn't it? And to think that God uses it. What's that?
On a postcard.
On a postcard, okay. Well, praise God, we're looking outside from inside a warm building, and we thank God for this building and all His provisions for us, and I assume that's the same for your house. Don't shake my hand today. I still have a cold that I got on Monday. I thought I was going to be all better, but I'm not, and so I'm trusting that my voice will hold out until the message is over. Thursday's a special day, right? Yes. How many will be celebrating on Thursday their first anniversary? Oh, just these two. And it's another day too. Thanksgiving. We give thanks. It's great to give thanks. I wanted us to look at Thanksgiving from the point of view of a harvest festival in which people have worked so hard. They brought in their crops. They realize that God has been good to them all year. They look forward to the next year, and they celebrate. After all that hard work, they celebrate, and then they glorify God. They thank God. You've probably seen this picture before. It's a famous picture. Do you see there some Englishmen in 17th century dress, and also some Native Americans, and after their first harvest in 1621, the Pilgrims did celebrate for 3 days with the natives there. The chief brought 90 men. And there were about 50 pilgrims. They also brought 5 deer and some other game that they caught. And they celebrated for three days because of God's faithfulness in their life. And if you remember, they had a hard time. 102 came over, and after the first winter, there were only 51 who lived through the winter. Then 35 more came in the summer on another ship. But they struggled very hard. It was a lot of sacrifice on their part. Hard work, struggle, sacrifice, and all this death as well. They didn't really call themselves pilgrims. Later, Governor Bradford used that term, reflecting back on their lives. We call them that, but they called themselves either separatists, or actually they called themselves saints. And so they're on the board the ship of the 102, 40 were separatists, and 62 were others they called strangers. But they came there in search of a land where they could have freedom of religion and raise their families before God in the way they understood it, with their conscience. And they also realized they needed financial freedom, because they had religious freedom in Holland, but they didn't have any financial opportunity, and they were really suffering. And they said, we can't raise our families here. Let's take the risk of going to the new country. And when King James heard that they wanted to go to the new country as Englishmen, he said, okay, I'll accept you as Englishmen. And he let them go, because he had been persecuting them as separatists in his own country. But he said, okay, if you're going to go there and be Englishmen, that'll be great. Have my blessing. So they went. And they believed that they were on God's mission to do what God wanted them to do. Here's a verse, or three verses actually. Let's say these together out of 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray without sleep. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And this is God's will for you. They understood that this was God's will. And that's what they wanted to do. Even though they had so much hardship, they wanted to praise God. Now I want to remind us what Paul says in Romans, that not everybody does this, praise God, even though they know that God should be praised, that God should be thanked. Let's read this one together, Romans 1:21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then it goes on in verse 25. Read this also. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. Ingratitude can lead to idolatry, can lead to many bad things. And ingratitude itself is a very ugly thing. But when it's aimed at God, it's even more dangerous. So let's review a little bit. They left England for Holland because there wasn't enough freedom there. There was persecution in England. But when they got to Holland, what they found was there's freedom, lots of freedom, but there was permissiveness. And this was drawing away their young people. And they said, we have to leave. And remember, they had storms at sea. Even the main beam broke. And they used their printing press to push it back up until they could prop a board under it. And so they had been printing lots of papers in England and also in Holland, because they not only did they want to teach their own children, but they wanted to spread their faith to others as well. So they were evangelistic. And then when they realized that they were blown north by the, because they left too late, they were blown north by the Atlantic storms. And they didn't go to Virginia like they planned. They went to Massachusetts, and they said, this must be from God. And so they gave them some freedom from the Virginia Company's control, and they said, this is from God. So they had to form their own constitution, and they covenanted together. They wrote, we covenant and combine ourselves together in the civil body politic to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices. Now remember, when they were there, God had arranged another thing to happen. They met this young man, Squanto, who had been kidnapped earlier as a young man and taken to England, so he was a very good, spoke English very well, and he came back. He was the only survivor of his tribe, and his tribe had been a very warring tribe, and he was the only one left. So he attached himself to the pilgrims and helped them, taught them how to plant corn and different things like that. And he was also a translator with other tribes. And the one that they had the most best relationships were the Wampanoag tribe and the chief Massasoit. He was a very powerful chief. He made peace with them. They had peace with that tribe for the next 90 years. This is something that happens all around the world. People sow and they reap, and if they have a good harvest, they celebrate. So harvest celebrations are very, very common. Every culture, all through time, every religion. The hard work is over, work's reward is in hand, the future gives us hope. And so what do they do with that? They thank and worship the gods. Whatever gods there are, everywhere around the world, they worship gods. Some of the gods are of their own creation. Some of the gods are part of creation, and some worship the true God who's the creator. And that's what the pilgrims said they wanted to do. They thought of themselves as living out the Bible. There are harvest celebrations in the Bible. Three times the men of Israel were to assemble at the central sanctuary, one for Passover, one for the thing called Weeks, the Feast of Weeks. 7 weeks of weeks plus one day. So that's 7 times 7, 49 plus 1 is 50 days. Pentecost is the Greek word for 50. 50 days. And then the last one is the gathering of booths, which was the general harvest. So the first harvest was the barley harvest that happened in April. Then they had the wheat harvest that happened in June. And then they had the general harvest that happened in September and October. And then it was all over, waiting for the next year. Nehemiah and Ezra called the people together for their booth's harvest, or their in-gathering harvest, and they called them in to renew their covenant with God. And so they realized that this was, because they had lost the scriptures, they didn't know what they were supposed to do, and Ezra was reading to them and telling them what it was, they began to cry and weep because they weren't obeying the scriptures. And They said, no, 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 don't cry and weep. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Don't mourn, don't weep. For they had been weeping. And he said, go eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So this was actually a command to celebrate. Now, some commands are harder than others to follow, but that's a pretty good one, right? Celebrate, party, have a good time. And then they found out this. They came back, and they realized they were supposed to spend a week in a booth, or which would be like children making tents and forts in their yard. They just take twigs, branches, and weave them together into these little temporary huts, and they stayed outside their houses for a week. Can you imagine how much fun the children had? They wanted the children to celebrate and think their religion was fun. And they partied for a week. And notice it says that this, from the days of Joshua until that day, they had not celebrated it properly. They were too busy with all their work to take time to celebrate, even after the harvest, when you should have time to celebrate, after all the hard work was done. Because that's what a harvest celebration is. The hard work is over. We know whether we had a good harvest or not, whether we'll be set for the winter and for the next year. And so there's hope. And for those in Israel and the pilgrims, this meant that the Lord, Yahweh, had watched over them, had kept his covenant, and they had been faithful, and he had been faithful. Because one thing I want to talk about is that sometimes we get the idea that grace is against work, that they're opposed to one another. And they're not. Grace and work go together as long as people have the right understanding. God wants us to work hard. He wants us to work according to his instructions and according to his will, and then with the strength that he provides. And then who rejoices together when we succeed? God rejoices and we rejoice. It's a very powerful theme throughout the scripture. And sometimes it's not harvest. Sometimes it's a war that they've had to fight, or a battle, and God provides, and so they give thanks to God for that. Well, here, the first Thanksgiving Day, that was a national holiday, a congressman from New Jersey petitioned the Congress, and they asked the president to declare the first National Thanksgiving Day. He announced it on October 3rd, and because they didn't have instant media, they made it for November 26th. And that was their first day of Thanksgiving. They weren't actually looking back at the pilgrims. They were thanking God for their constitution, that God had brought them through this terrible war against the most powerful force on earth at the time, gave them independence, and then led them to this forming a constitution that could unite the 13 states together. And so that was the first day of Thanksgiving. And they said, God has brought us this far and has given us this, all these things. And of course, did they work hard? Yes. Did they sacrifice? Yes. Believing that God was giving them the strength to do it. And so they gave that day as a day of Thanksgiving. There was one, this isn't the first one that Washington called. He actually called one back in 1777, but he wasn't the president then. There wasn't a country then. He was the commander of the army. And they gave a day of Thanksgiving, December 18th, 1777, because they had won, and there was a victory where General Gate surrendered, he and his 7,000 British troops at Saratoga, New York. So they gave a day of Thanksgiving for that, a victory over their enemy. Of course, the battles continued, and the war didn't finish until 81 when Cornwallis surrendered. And then it took till 1783 that they wrote out all their papers. But they thanked God for what he had done for them, that he'd helped them, that he had helped form this nation. They continued what the pilgrims started. The pilgrims had thanked God for his help, bringing them through the ocean, surviving sickness, surviving starvation, learning how to live in a new land where everything was different. And they continued that process. And so here's the idea of them proclaiming that holiday. I think Donna read this, a part of it. Whereas it's the duty of nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. Abraham Lincoln did a similar thing. This is him speaking at Gettysburg. And he said, "They are gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people." So these things go together: hard work, sacrifice, then celebrating success and thanking God and giving him the glory. Is God's grace against work? Is it against success and rewards? No. Ephesians 2. "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us who were dead in our sins and trespasses, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are what? God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So God has works for us, his children, to do. And he's glorified when we're trusting him to do those things. In fact, Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, "You've always obeyed when I've been there. Now you're obeying in my absence. Continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you to will and to do," or to will and to act, "according to his good purpose." Your actions, your choosing to act, is God working in you. So do it, believing that God is choosing and God is enabling you to do it. You work with the strength that God provides. And when we pray, we're praying according to God's promises, and Paul tells us, no matter how many promises God has made, they're yes in Christ. And so that through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. God is glorified when we trust him and we move forward in the work that he's given us to do, believing in his strength. We have to avoid idolatry. God alone is self-existing. God alone is independent. All other things are his creation and dependent upon him. And so everything in creation owes God gratitude and honor. Gratitude, thanks, and glory. Don't be like these guys. We read it already. They did not honor him or glorify him or give thanks, but they became foolish. Ingratitude is ugly. It leads to idolatry. We don't want to have any part of it. God wants us to join him in a higher level of relationship. He wants to co-opt with us. What's that mean? Cooperate. He wants us to work together with him. Some of you have done this already. Some of you have done this with your children. Would God lower himself to work with us as co-workers? Would that diminish his glory? It doesn't diminish his glory at all. Remember what the Lord said to those people tired from trying to earn their place through religion. He said, if you're tired, they're trying to make yourself righteous through your religion. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's saying, I will be right next to you. We'll be pulling together, working together in the work that God has us to do. That's a humble God. Sometimes people think that God is, he's so worried about his glory. Is he so conceited? Oh, no, God is humble. But the truth is, we cannot worship anything that's part of creation. We can only worship God. And so every other choice is idolatry and is unreality and is an evil fantasy. But worshiping the true and living God is a wonderful thing to do, because he is the truly generous and kind one. He's the one who's truly gracious. And he's not just a creator. He loves his creation. He is a parent. He is a father. He co-opts with us the same way parents co-opt with their children. Do parents work with their children? Yes, they want their children to work. Are parents still providing everything for the children? Do the children pave their own way? Children don't pay their own way. Parents keep providing for them. It's all by grace, but children have things to do. They're to follow their parents' instructions. They're to trust and obey. They're to work at home and school. No, I say they are to. This doesn't always happen. Not like when you were children, right? So think of this. Parents take, you know, they're young children, they're preschool, then they go to elementary school. Is there work for the parents to do? Yes. Is there work for the children to do? Yes. They're co-oping, they're working together, and they get through middle school. Are the parents proud when the children do work and come back bringing instruments and make noise, squeaking and squawking and learning how to play music? They're proud of that, but it's hard work for both of them, parents and children. And then they go to the high school, and then they go to college, they get a career, then you're done with them, right? You're not done with them even then. Then they get married. Excuse me. Can't laugh, makes me cough. And children, and you still are helping them out. And now they're learning, they're completing the cycle, they're doing that with their children. And they're learning how to co-op with their children. That's what God wants for us. And that's what the harvest celebrations were all about. The people worked hard. Farming is hard work. Not that I've been a farmer. I just came in at the tail end of it because Debbie's dad liked to farm and he liked to grow alfalfa and sell hay. Do you know what alfalfa is? It's hay. And what does it do? It sticks all over you. That's what it does. Make hay while the sun shines. I had no clue what that meant, but I learned. They cut the hay. It has to dry in the field before they can bale it. Because if they bale it and it's wet, do you know what happens? They put it in the barn, and it starts to have a chemical reaction, and it gets hotter and hotter. The tighter the bale, the hotter it gets, and it can burst into flame and burn down the barn. And I remember times, and sometimes you have to bale it because it's wet and it keeps raining. They just have to bale it, and then they have to be careful about it. Many times we took the bales apart. We stick our hand in the center, and you can almost get burned. It's so hot, right? And then we would bale them. And of course, I'm short, and he was tall, and he's pretty strong. And we'd be throwing these bales up, and he wanted to get his money's worth. So he wouldn't have a 50-pound bale or a 60-pound bale. He had to have 80-pound bales. Because he baled them as tight as he could and get with wire and not even twine. He would do them with wire. And then we're pushing him up, and he's going like this. He's throwing them, right? And I'm going, and it's falling on me. This is dusty and dirty. I'm sweating head to toe, and I'm just... All this dust and alfalfa is falling, and says I'm wet. Guess what it does? It sticks to me. We do this for 4 hours, and he says, oh, it's 11 o'clock. We have to get there before they close breakfast. We're going to eat at a restaurant. he had like a little wet stripe here and a little dirt here, but me, I was covered. I don't know what I look like. But I thought, okay, no one knows me. I'll just go there and eat. Anyways, I learned that farming is hard work. They work hard. I think he could get three or four cuttings of alfalfa, but there's different crops, but all of them you have to clear the land, you have to plow them or cultivate them, and now they use no-till, but he'd like to plow, and you have to provide water somehow, and then you have to cultivate, you have to bring the thing in, you have to harvest it. It's hard work. But when the harvest is in, the work is done, you're happy, the work is over, that's good, and also that's when you get paid, that's when you receive your reward. And so it's a picture of what God wants to do with us. Your life, your struggle, there's struggles against the elements, and there's struggle, sometimes it's like war. God wants us to work hard in His strength, and to celebrate with him. And he is just like a proud parent who sees their child go through middle school and graduate from high school and graduate from college. You're more proud for them doing it than if you had done it yourself when they achieve something. And that's the kind of feeling that God has about us. He wants us to celebrate. So Nehemiah and Ezra said, stop crying, stop weeping. You haven't been obeying God because you didn't know, but now obey God, and this is a time to celebrate. And so they gave glory to God for helping them bring in their harvest, and they thank God for their covenant. That's what we're to do. As we move forward in the work that God has us to do, and struggling against our own sin, and also having a world that's not going to receive our message, some will, some won't. Do this in the strength that God provides and rejoice. Now, the final harvest isn't until we're gone from here, but we have seasons of that. And so three times a year, they were to come and celebrate because God wanted to mix fun and joy in their yearly cycle. Let's look at this again and say it again. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. How many times? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Work in His strength. Pray for His help as you go through life. And then in everything, good times and hard times, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you so much for your word. You gave it to us, a drama in the lives of many people. Some of them suffered horrible things. Some of them waited so long for your promises to finally be fulfilled. And they fought different enemies. And not only those people in the Bible, but your people throughout history and your people who came to this country so they could worship the Lord Jesus Christ suffered much. And we thank you that they did come here. They brought their faith with them. We thank you for this nation that was founded on principles from the Scripture with freedom of religion, freedom of speech, these different things. There was a terrible war fought for independence and another war fought to keep the Union together and all of these things and many wars since, Lord. But we thank you for this country. We know it's not the kingdom of God, but we thank you for what you have done and for the freedoms that we have. Help us as your people, Lord, to always be trusting you and doing your work, living your life here as your witnesses and spreading your news. Help us to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give you thanks, for this is your will for us in Christ Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.